Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Act One of award-winning opera composer Evan Mack's newest opera, Roscoe, will be part of Opera Saratoga's 2014 Summer Festival. The opera is based on the best-selling novel by Pulitzer Prize-winning author William Kennedy. The 80-minute concert performance will provide Saratoga audiences a first look into this brand new piece at the Arthur Zen Cal Music Center at Skidmore College on June 8th at 2 p.m. Here to tell us more are composer Evan Mack and Curtis Tucker, General Director of Opera Saratoga. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us. What a delight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So let us begin with you, Evan, of how this came to be your collaboration with William Kennedy.
Well, I was looking for some new material on my third opera. I was lucky and very successful in my first two, and I'd always been a fan of William Kennedy, and I knew I wanted to do something that had some levity, a comedic component, but also some real depth. And Roscoe was just sitting on my bookshelf. It was a copy my father gave me probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so I sat down and read it and said, this sounds like an opera. And so then it took a while to find out how to get permission to set this. I called the publishing company, no answer. I called the previous publishing company for it, no response. And then I called the New York State Writers Institute, and I said, how would I go about this? And they said, well, let's get back to you. And a few hours later, my cell phone rang, and it was, I hear, hey, it's Bill Kennedy. And I almost dropped the phone, you know. And then we started talking, and I told him some of my ideas about it, and after a few conversations, he agreed to a 2-year deal to turn it into an opera.
It is interesting because in reading the book, you do get a sense of, and in much of his work, of whatever this means, of it being operatic.
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of size and scope and the different types of characters and even the different time worlds and the living and the dead, it's ripe for that. The hardest challenge was actually taking such a vast universe that he created and putting it to a medium of the stage. So with the work of my librettist, Joshua McGuire, and I, we diligently kind of had some problem-solving sessions and kind of came up with a really unique idea on how to portray the essence of his novel to the stage.
So, Curtis Tucker, how did Opera Saratoga get involved?
Well, we got involved really through Evan. I've known Evan for a few years. I'm familiar with his other works, and as colleagues in the area, we've been in touch. And so when he told me about this project, there was so much about it that seemed like a great fit for us. You know, a writer from the area, a composer from the area, subject matter in Albany, but transported to another time and place, which opera audiences love. All of those seemed to fit. We're Opera Saratoga, opera company in the Capital District, so if there was a way that we could be involved in this process, we thought we'd love to do that. You know, we're a company that's kind of firmly rooted in the classics in a lot of ways. We'll do the Magic Flute and the Elixir of Love this year, but we also believe it's important to be involved in creating new work, which we've tried to do through workshops and sometimes performances. And so a project like this is really the perfect vehicle to give us breadth to our summer festival.
As I mentioned, on June 8th, this will be a workshop performance. So what exactly does that mean for you?
Well, for me, it's wonderful because it's all of Act One, which is, I mean, brand new. I mean, this past year, really 9 months, we've spent writing it. So for me, it's to watch and see what our concept was on the page and how it would resonate on the stage. So really, the idea of seeing how it goes start to finish, pacing, if there's some movement on stage. So what audiences will get is the full musical scope of Act One with other storytelling elements to help with the visual. And it'll really be something for audiences to get a sneak peek as well. I mean, something very new in the process. So it's exciting that it's not even a year old and already it's going to have some stage component to it.
You were talking a moment ago, Curtis, of doing classic repertoire and obviously liking the opportunity to do new things. The benefit of that, of course, is having the writer there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this workshop in a lot of ways is for Evan and Josh, the librettist, to, just as he said, to see whether the ideas that they've had and they've put on paper, how they translate. Because two performers, whether what they've intended to have happen is what the page actually represents. Because once you get singers and a conductor and lots of other folks involved interpreting their work, I mean, it's fascinating. Just a little bit that I've done, you know, you think you've clarified, you know exactly how it's going to go, but you have to be able to put that on paper so that, you know, in 25 years when somebody in Idaho is doing this opera and Evan's not there to marshal them through it, you know, will what's on the page reflect what he hoped would happen? So that's a really fascinating process.
This is Act One. So at the end of the 80 minutes, does somebody come out and tell you what happened?
It's funny. The way we wrote the last scene, it definitely has some closure, but it's a good rule to always keep them wanting more. So anyone who knows the novel will really understand, oh, this is where it's leading. And others kind of have an indication of where it's going to unfold. Because really, Act One sets up all the dominoes. And as we're sketching Act Two right now, it's just someone taking their finger and pushing the dominoes down. So I think they'll be satisfied but craving a little more.
Obviously, you have the initial conversation with Bill Kennedy, and then how involved is he, and how much do you use him as a resource in the writing?
Well, it's been actually wonderful. I mean, we usually wrote about a scene or two at a time and then would present it to him. So there are times I would be singing from the piano and playing something for him or even from my computer, and he would have the libretto. And he was very involved in rewriting. This man has created such a wide universe. I mean, bigger than Tolkien, bigger than Harry Potter in the sense with all of his novels. So to even just pick his brain for a few hours, and no word goes unturned with William Kennedy, which is exhilarating and intimidating at the same time. So, but instantly you could just see what we've done as a labor of love and really an homage in his work. He really then takes it to that level that, you know, even to the point where one character he said, oh, he wouldn't say hey, he'd say hi. To that detail. Now, of course, there were some big picture things, but in general, he loved our ideas of compression and structuring of the novel. But really getting it down to the word was really a lot of things we would meet and discuss. So it was very, very exciting. One point, I don't want to ramble on, but you know, he has a house on 67 Dove Street, and that was where Legs Diamond was killed. And Legs is one of the characters in Roscoe. And I'm at my computer singing the ballad of Legs Diamond, which is one of the fun little numbers in the opera, to William Kennedy in the house that Legs Diamond. My head almost exploded. It was just awesome. You know?
That's really cool. And it fleshes it out. So for audiences, I would think, Curtis, it's obviously, as we mentioned, a wonderful opportunity to see something as it's unfolding. And the challenges for you and for your group to be able to do what Evan wants, what William Kennedy wants, and to put on a good show for the audience as well.
Well, there is always that challenge, and this is a workshop performance, so there's a focus on the music and the score and the words, certainly. So there will not be elaborate sets, there will not be elaborate costumes, all of those kinds of things. There'll be enough visually to help the audience understand what's happening in the act, but it's not a fully staged, fully realized production. That'll come down the road someday when Act Two is done and the work's ready for its world premiere. So this is really just it's a sort of a behind the scenes look, which is very popular these days. You know, the Met does their HD series and they go backstage and they interview the singers, and this is really an opportunity for audience to kind of see a product that's evolving. You know, we did this 5 years ago with an opera called Eleanor, and it was really very successful then. So I'm very excited that we're able to do it again now, and I think audiences will love it.
So the long range hope is, I mean, you will do Act Two, obviously, and then how will it all come together, do you think?
Well, so I think the next thing is we'll, after June 8th, assess how Act 1 unfolded, what we'll need to do to make writing Act 2 easier as we're sketching it and mapping it out. Fortunately, we were selected to as a Yaddo resident, so we're actually going to get 2 weeks in Yaddo to work specifically on Act 2, and then go from there. A lot of times it's, do we workshop Act 2? Do we do excerpts of Act 1? You know, so it's a lot of mixing and matching and then trying to get the whole thing done from start to finish.
Which is the fun part.
The great part. Yeah, absolutely. That would be, you know, just a dream. And it's nice because Act 1, we know by design, will be 80 minutes, and then Act 2, we're aiming for 60 minutes, which will be a wonderful evening of opera for a new American work. And it's such a, because it's taken place in 1945, you know, for me as a composer, it's just wonderful. I can borrow from the jazz idiom, you know, Glenn Miller, you name it. And so opera is, it's both accessible, but you really dive deep into the language of William Kennedy and also my musical language.
When you started doing this, the challenges of writing new opera, what are they for you?
Well, actually, the first was the word opera, you know, how to define that, because it becomes a very loaded word. People think you have to wear a tuxedo and go, you know, to the high ball beforehand, and really it's not. You know, it's storytelling from music start to finish. And so for me, the hardest about writing it was then staying true to the story and the characters. You know, they're always living and breathing. So and certain characters will have musical associations, and then if they're influenced by another, then they start adopting other musical languages. So it's I'm actually quite blessed to be a composer in the 21st century, because I can take from anything. I can take from the jazz world, the 1800s, 12 tone, you name it, and it's how I want to represent that character and you know, and then go from there. I'll give you one example. Elijah is one of the characters, and they talk about how he babbled. So instantly I thought scat singing. I mean, it was just perfect. So how to evoke that stylized sound to get across his character and who he is, and through some of his babbling, and it was a perfect way to do that. So,
and then you, Curtis, have to figure out to find the singer who's going to babble.
Indeed we do. And this is, I will say, this Roscoe has a lot of people in it, has a lot of characters. It's really grand opera. There's a chorus. Well, there's actually double chorus. So there's two choruses. So it's written for a lot of people. And we're going to be performing it, I think, with a cast of about 15. A full production somewhere down the line, we'll have even more than that. But we're using the singers from our Young Artist Program. And it's one of the oldest Young Artist Programs in opera companies in the country. We had 940 applicants for our 15 positions this year, and so it was a lot of screening, and they'll be coming from all over the country, California, Texas, Carolinas, Boston, you name it, and they're coming out of some of the best schools in the country, and they're early career young professional singers, and they love this. They really love the opportunity to wrestle with new music while they're doing magic flute and other things too, but they're very talented.
And what's down the line for Opera Saratoga this season?
Opera Saratoga, June is Opera Month in Saratoga this year, and we're embracing the whole month. We kick off with Pasta and Puccini on June 1st. This Roscoe workshop, June 8th, goes into our Opera Gala on June 13th, and then the second half of the month, we run the Magic Flute and the Elixir of Love at the Spa Little Theater, closing June 29th. So we've got a full month with a wide variety of opera programs.
Wonderful stuff. Well, the first act of Roscoe, a new opera by Evan Mack, based on the novel by Pulitzer Prize-winning author William Kennedy, will be presented by Opera Saratoga at the Arthur Zenkel Music Center at Skidmore College on June 8th at 2 o'clock. For more information, you can visit operasaratoga.org, operasaratoga.org. Evan Mack and Curtis Tucker, I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. What a delight.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.